Today is March 28th, 2021, Palm Sunday. The coronavirus continues to be active in our communities, so we do not worship together in person at the church, but offer this recorded service, and I welcome you to this time of worship. As Jesus came into Jerusalem that day long ago, riding a donkey, the people whispered, "What's his name? Who is he?" The crowd shouted back, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." But who is he? His disciples praised God joyfully for all his mighty deeds of power. They shouted, "Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven." But do we know him by name? Hosanna to the Son of David. Jesus is his name. Please pray with me. Holy and sovereign God, we praise you for your Son Jesus, who rode in triumph into the holy city of Jerusalem, hailed a king and Messiah by adoring crowds. May we, who continue to proclaim Christ as Messiah, Redeemer, Lord, and King, be courageous and faithful to follow him in the way of suffering and the cross, lest we be numbered among the fickle crowd who turn their backs on your Son. Turn our hearts again this day to enter into Christ's passion and death, so we may also enter into his resurrection and glory. We ask this all in Jesus' name, and now pray as he taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I invite you now to listen and or join in singing the hymn, All Glory, Laud, and Honor.
Thank you.
Today's scripture comes from the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 11, verses 1 through 11. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'The Lord needs it, and will send it back here shortly.'" They went and found a colt outside in the street, tied at a doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there asked, "What are you doing untying that colt?" And they answered as Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest heaven." Jesus entered Jerusalem and went into the temple courts. He looked around at everything, but since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. This ends the reading of God's holy word for today. May we be blessed by its reading and hearing and understanding. Let's pray together. Holy God, we do praise and glorify you. We rejoice in all the ways you provide for us and sustain us. Open our hearts and minds to your word and fill us with your spirit. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. What is your favorite sports team? Is it your child's soccer or hockey team? Or a college football or basketball team? Or perhaps a Major League Baseball club? FYI, if you haven't heard, opening day at Fenway Park will be this coming Thursday, April 1st. How do you show your loyalty to your team? Do you sport a bumper sticker or a flag at your home? What game day rituals do you enjoy? Do you don your team-sanctioned apparel? In post-pandemic times, will you pack the car with your favorite food and beverages and head to the field early to tailgate with other fans? Or do you put out a spread of your favorite munchies and gather with your family around the big screen TV? Or meet with socially distanced friends at the neighborhood bar to watch the game? The game begins, and so does the cheering. When things are going our way, we're joyous, jumping up and down, shouting, and waving banners and signs. But what happens if it's an off day, an off season? Do you start missing a game or two and then lose interest completely? Are you a fair weather fan or a faithful follower? When envisioning and reflecting on the events of today's scripture, at first, the characters may look like a group of fans. Men, women, and children alike are singing and chanting, waving branches and throwing their coats on the road to welcome a what? A man riding on a donkey? What's going on in this scene? Who is this man? And what exactly is this crowd chanting? Hosanna? Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord? Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David? Hosanna in the highest heaven? What do they mean? Is there more going on here than the usual celebrity chasing or sporting event? The people in the crowd knew there was more happening. They realized that this parade was an epiphany celebration. All the elements were evident that day. An honored king riding on an animal, a donkey, was an appropriate mount for a Mideastern king arriving in peace. Loyal followers smoothing the road by covering it with branches and even their coats, and people chanting praises and cheering. Yes, the crowds recognized Jesus as a king, but that was about all they got right that day. They were looking for a king who would physically overthrow the Romans and establish an earthly political reign. But Jesus had no such intentions. For Jesus, the donkey signified kingship, but also humility. It was the beast of burden. His ride was a living sermon illustration, but the people missed the point. Jesus was symbolically speaking out against not only Roman rule, but also against the privileged attitude of the Jewish high priests. It was Jesus' hope that Israel would be a servant people, free from Roman rule and Hebrew imperialism. It was his goal that they live out the kingdom of God in their midst. This was nothing new. He had been teaching about what that meant for 3 years, but the crowds still missed the point. Thousands of people were pouring into Jerusalem that week. Many were making that once-in-a-lifetime pilgrimage to celebrate Passover in the temple. The journey itself was important. Travelers used this time to anticipate and prepare for the celebration to come, much as Lent is a journey that prepares us for the celebration of Easter, and Advent prepares for the celebration of Christmas. It was a time of great rejoicing, of remembering when God had liberated the people from the oppression of the Egyptian Pharaoh. In that day, Jerusalem was the place where people came to be in the presence of God, so expectations were extremely high. But Jesus had no such expectations for this week. He knew where this procession would end. For some time, he had been trying to tell his followers that this week would be like no other. But even the disciples did not get it. As the week wore on, they still could not grasp what was happening. The scribes and the Pharisees were trying to trap Jesus and arrest him. Jesus spoke more and more frequently and boldly about his suffering and death. By Thursday, when the disciples gathered to celebrate the Passover, tension was high. After supper, Judas slipped out into the night to betray his Lord. And later the soldiers came to the garden and arrested Jesus, and the crowds fled. And as Jesus continued his journey to the cross, he journeyed alone. One by one, the disciples fell away, until one disciple and a few faithful women remained at the cross. After the crucifixion, they all ran and hid away in the upper room, confused and afraid. How quickly things had changed. The cheering crowds and the new ruler entering the holy city on a donkey seemed but a distant memory. As we look at this scene from the safety of our seats at home. It may be easy to picture ourselves as part of that crowd cheering our King. We like to wave palm branches and sing our songs and praise to the Lord. And this is good. Luke tells us that it is our duty to give praise to God. If we didn't, he said, the very rocks would cry out. But perhaps we are too much like the crowd in other ways. If we are honest, some of us have our own agendas in mind for Jesus. For many of us, American imperialism is alive and well. We display our national flag and sing God Bless America. And we too become involved in conflict. We assume that we know what is best for others. And in the name of God, we sometimes force it upon them. Others of us assume that just because we follow Jesus, we will be blessed economically. We expect that Jesus will overthrow the powers that be on our behalf. We must be very careful this day that we are not like the crowds, asking God to meet our own political and economic agendas. Some of us find that we are like the disciples. Despite Jesus' continued teaching about the cost of discipleship and the price of following, we still don't understand what he is asking of us. We can't get past our own preconceived ideas to grasp what following Jesus really means. Perhaps it is time for us to sincerely listen to the core of the gospel message. Wherever we find ourselves, it is clear that we are called to be more than cheering spectators in this parade. We are to humble ourselves and be willing to serve sacrificially, as Jesus did. The choice is ours today. Will we limit our involvement and commitment to praise and acclamation? Do we have our own agendas that we expect Jesus to fulfill? Or do we understand what it really means to be a disciple? Are we fair weather fans who lose interest and fade away at the first sign of trouble? Or are we faithful followers who continue the ministry of Jesus no matter what the cost? This is an important question to wrestle with as we embark on Holy Week. Please pray with me. Humble Jesus, who rides into our cities and draws near to our lives, we too rise to greet you, to shout hosannas, to feel life stir within us, to sense hope quickening in our hearts. For you are a great God, a compassionate ruler, a loving friend, a wise counselor. But deep in the distance, in some far corner of our being, we fear your arrival. For you gently offer us a choice. And to choose you means letting go of preconceptions, jealousies, and resentments, our private wars against others, and our timid acceptance of ourselves. Like the people in Jerusalem, we discover you are more than we first thought. Beyond loud hosannas, you ask our obedience and our worship. And we are learning piece by piece to turn that over to you. This day, this week, move us into the deeper levels of ourselves. Let us feel again your pain of that last week. Let us touch our own wounds, trusting you. Easter is the sign of new hope for us. And in these moments, Help us to transition from crowded city streets of Sunday to that serene upper room and tranquil garden of Thursday, and onto the torturous cross of Friday. Help us to ponder in our hearts whether we are a fair weather fan or a faithful follower. We ask this in the name of the one whom we praise this day with our hosannas, the one who comes in the name of the Lord, Jesus the Christ. Amen. I invite you now to listen and or join in singing the hymn, Ride On in Majesty. Conclude this time of worship. We have followed Christ on his triumphant ride into Jerusalem. Let us remain faithful and not turn back as we face his suffering and death. For in his suffering and in our own lies the promise and the hope of new life. Amen.